Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you all to episode 145 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, I must apologize to any regular listeners. I know it's been a while since I've done one. Well, my travels have been ridiculous since we last spoke. I have been to, last weekend I was in Boston, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday I flew to London. I flew into Heathrow. I spent the night at a hotel outside of Gatwick. Monday, flew from Gatwick to Burgundy, boarded a cruise ship, did a show for the fine people from John Hancock Insurance, got off of the ship Wednesday, took a train from St. Malo, France, to Paris. By the way, France by train, absolutely beautiful. Then flew from Paris through Atlanta to Washington, D.C., where I am right now. Last night, I did the first annual multicultural media correspondence dinner. It was phenomenal, hosted by, hosted by Chris Spencer, and I'm sorry, Chris, my brain is fried. Ida Rodriguez was absolutely hilarious. They were honoring Jamie Foxx. Jamie was there and gave a great speech. And hey, he loved my comedy, so I'm honored by that. It was the Young Turks were there, and Praz from the Fugees was there, and a lot of celebrity and Washington media types. And these were the media representatives, the reporters, et cetera, that don't get invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner because they may not be a big enough name or be part of a big enough organization, or they're just left out of the party. Okay, it said the multicultural dinner. You know what that means. Little too black, little too brown to get into the party at the White House. But anyway, phenomenal event, a great night, and I had a ball. And you can find it online. If you go to my Twitter feed or if you go to Roland Martin's Twitter feed, he actually recorded it on Periscope and put it up. Ida's comedy set, my comedy set. We had a lot of fun doing that. So that's where I've been. That's what I've been doing. I definitely will do more podcasts with guests, but it's going to be a while because the month of June, I am going to be on my motorcycle riding up and down the East Coast doing Americade and some shows in Florida and on and on. So we'll get into that next month. I'll just check in from the road now and then. So let's get right to it, okay? And I had to switch my lead story because yesterday when I was doing my outline, my lead story was the transgender bathroom issue and why is that still an issue. But since then, there's been news. As of yesterday, as of North Dakota, Donald Trump has enough delegates to be the Republican candidate for president of the United States. I'll say it. Well, no, I'm not even going to say it again. We already know it. You have to talk about Trump, right? You know, Trump news is Trump news. So he did it. And good, bad, or indifferent, happy, or whatever, he's the guy. There were some Republicans at the dinner last night, not the most avid Trump supporters. You know I joke about black Republicans and not being real. There were a couple there last night, and one who works with the Maryland Republican Party said his problem, black man who's a Republican, said his problem with Donald Trump is Donald Trump's not a real conservative, that it's all an act. That amazes me. With Donald Trump's basically overt racism, you know, and aimed toward, you name it, from his birther thing with Barack Obama to ban all Muslims to Mexican rapists and dope dealers and on and on. I really don't understand how you could be a black Republican and support Donald Trump. But this is America and you have the choice. And as my friend Vinks often says, ain't freedom free to be dumb. So God bless him and good luck. Barack Obama, very interestingly, said at a summit in a foreign country, which usually, you know, I'll tell you, other countries know our politics. And make no mistake, other countries are nervous about Donald Trump because they know we'll do it. This is America, some bitch, in America, and we just create enough, elect that some bitch, and everyone get a gun in their pocket, some bitch, NASCAR. All right, so you know, this America, we will elect Donald Trump because we're crazy. And Barack Obama said leaders of other countries are rattled. He said they're not sure how seriously to take some of his pronouncements. A lot of proposals he's made display either ignorance of world affairs or a cavalier attitude interested in getting tweets and headlines. Yeah, that's it. That's who Donald Trump has been. Now, you know, here's my thing. I will say this. When people say Donald Trump is not qualified to be president, it's not like he hid that fact. Okay, it's not like Donald Trump was pretending to be anything else. That's what his people say, right? He's true. He's for real. That doesn't make you qualified. There are still riots and violence at his rallies, whether it be Donald Trump protesters going crazy outside or Donald Trump supporters beating up people inside. It's still going on. This one blew me away with the violence during the presidential election. Okay, so it's not just at the Trump rally. Bunk lost it. Wendell Price, who played Bunk on the series The Wire, which I still contend was the greatest series ever on television. With all due respect to Breaking Bad, love The Wire. Omar was just unbelievable. But anyway. So Wendell played Bunk. That's what he got into a fight at a hotel at 3 a.m. He supports Hillary Clinton, and he got into a fight with some Bernie people, and he started it. He ended up getting arrested for it. It's the first time I heard a Hillary supporter starting some shit. I don't know. Maybe that's good. Maybe it'll spark things up. I don't really know. That's whoo. What, imagine Hillary going to Trump tactics? I don't see it, but. But it happened, and Bunk's in a little bit of trouble. You know, the Bernie bros are known for not being violent. They're more like trolls, internet trolls. They verbally attack, but I don't know that they'll physically attack you. But Bunk ain't having it. Bunk's rolling on people, so you better watch out. You see Bunk at a Hillary rally, you just keep your mouth shut. Just keep in line and go Hillary. So we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Now the big talk is who Trump's vice president might be. You know, there's talk of Newt Gingrich and Kasich and Corker from Tennessee and blah, blah. I don't know. I don't even, pick the wizard. Pick the wizard from The Wizard of Oz. I don't know. It's got to be interesting to politicians who. You know, you say what you want about hating politicians, but they do know things like how the laws are made, how the Constitution works, how foreign policy works, et cetera, et cetera. It's got to be interesting for them to want to play second fiddle to Donald Trump. I'm not sure. Like, it'd be one thing if it was, you know, Sarah Palin or Paris Hilton, but that's interesting to me. I can't see necessarily like a Marco Rubio who has his own ambitions, or John Kasich. You leave the governor, you're the governor of Ohio. Presidential run, not good because you're not good at reality show tactics. But do you leave to be second fiddle to Donald Trump? I don't know. That's an interesting one. But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out and it continues. Okay, enough Trump. Now, I want to get to, and I want to get to this because I still think this is just ridiculous that it's as big a story as it is. But the transgender bathroom issue, as we all know, has now gone national. It's not about North Carolina. It's the country. It's Jesus. You know, Jesus is involved. And it's still insanity. So Barack Obama said that, you know, used his presidential power to say that schools could not discriminate in bathrooms against transgender people because schools are public. They're financed by the federal government money. So he said, no, now people have absolutely lost their minds. Oklahoma declared a state of emergency and they wrote a bill and their bill said that, and get this. Now this is an interesting, again, this backwards ass logic and use of Jesus. said non-transgender students have the right to use transgender-free bathrooms based on their religious freedom. See how backwards that, see how that works? That, again, Jesus and discrimination, they like to, they think the two go together like guns and pockets. I don't know. Some bitch. Yeah, so that's their logic. Non-transgender people have the right to go to transgender-free bathrooms based on their religion. So that would lead to, now you got to have four bathrooms, right? You got to have the men's room. Then you have to have the men's room transgender acceptable. Then you have the ladies' room. Then you have the ladies' room transgender acceptable, or flip them and call it non-acceptable or whatever the hell. Yeah, that'll work. And here's the thing, with all due respect to Oklahoma, you can't afford four bathrooms unless it's at the football stadium. So you know who you'd ask to pay for it? I bet federal money would be involved. Now, this law didn't get passed, but they're trying. But yeah, they would use federal money to build their transgender-free bathrooms. And the best sign I've seen so far simply said, I just want to pee. That's all. They just want to pee. Texas, it's always about Texas, right? Texas is leading a lawsuit of 11 states to stop an executive order barring discrimination, the executive order from Barack Obama barring discrimination in bathrooms. So, Texas, you want to sue about discrimination in schools? Here's some discrimination in schools. A 12-year-old girl at a private school in Waco, Texas, came home from a weekend field trip with rope burns around her neck. Do I need to tell you it was a young black girl? Name not released because of her age, but she went on a field trip with the class. They're playing on one of those rope swings where you pull the rope and the swing goes back and forth. She's standing there watching. Next thing, a rope goes around her neck. She gets dragged to the ground and pulled. She had visible rope burns all around her neck. There were three young white boys behind her. And of course, nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows how it happened. Nobody saw anything. Not just the kids, the teachers and the so-called chaperones. And one of the chaperones was a doctor who put like Vaseline on the rope burns around the girl's neck and said she's fine. How horrible is that story? How horrible is that story? A 12-year-old girl at a private school, obviously, very few black kids in the private school, okay, a rope tied around her neck and she's dragged and it's all being covered up and so on, but they're suing the federal government because they're afraid a transgender person might go into their bathroom. This is another one of these stories. This is another one of these situations where I don't know how horrible we can get as humanity. I honestly don't know. You've heard me say it before. There is no bottom. I don't know how to. I can't think of a more horrible thing than you tie a rope around a 12-year-old girl's neck and drag her simply because she's black. That was her only crime against humanity, being black. You drag this girl by her neck. You leave rope burns around her neck. The rope burns will heal long before the emotional and psychological damage. Imagine 12 years old. Think how awkward you were. Think how difficult it is to fit in and are you good enough and et cetera, et cetera. And she's already suffering bullying and racism and all that at school because being one of the few blacks in this private school. And how bad is our situation that her mother has to pay for her to go to this school just with the hope of a good education and on and on. There's a million issues I could go in on this, but just a 12-year-old girl, rope burns around her neck, and adults and saying, we don't know what happened. No one called her mother. No one called her mother. You know something? This is where people snap. This is where people snap. And you're worried about transgender people and where they pee. That's going to damage your child because a child who's transgender goes into a bathroom you don't think is right, your child's going to be damaged for life. But this little 12-year-old girl, yeah, we could tie a rope around her neck and drag her for a while. What the hell? it's beyond disgusting. It's beyond anger, and it's beyond any joke. I don't know what to tell you. This racial discrimination in this country is an embarrassment. It's a national embarrassment. It is an international, it's a worldwide embarrassment. We have the nerve to talk about, you know, Barack Obama was recently in Vietnam talking about human rights, et cetera. You know something? Who are we to talk? Who are we to talk when we're tying ropes around the necks of 12-year-olds? When the officer in the Freddie Gray case was cleared of any wrongdoing again. Another police officer who just happened to be around when a young black guy got killed, but didn't have nothing to do with it. Just sort of happened again. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get preachy or down or all that, but I really have to say it's an embarrassment. And it's not just an embarrassment. It's actually painful because we're talking about a 12-year-old girl. And when you, as a friend of mine who has a teenage daughter, she said, you know, when you reach the point that you can't have any empathy for a 12-year-old child, you're a lost cause. If you can't imagine, wow, what if that was my child? If you can't say that, then you're a lost cause. And it's a damn shame. Speaking of a damn shame, okay, so a death row inmate, he took his case to the Supreme Court, and it was a case of discrimination, and the Supreme Court agreed with him, and they stayed his execution, and he will get a new trial. This man was in Georgia, and the case was in 1986, and his defense lawyers found the records from the prosecutors, and the prosecutors wrote, this is when they were picking the jurors, the prosecutors highlighted the names of African Americans, circled the word black on questionnaires, added notations such as B number one and B number two, and wrote definite no's. Then they put the last five blacks in the jury pool on top and ranked them in case it comes down to having to pick one of those black jurors. So this is done 1 year after a Supreme Court decision said that it's unconstitutional to rank jurors based on race. So the Supreme Court said you can't do it. A year later in Georgia, they do it. His 30 years later, he's going to be executed. His case makes it to the Supreme Court. There's a 7-1 verdict in his favor that reverses the state court decision. The decision from the Supreme Court's written by John Roberts, who is the one dissent? Clarence Thomas. Yes, Clarence Thomas, the only one, you know, the black guy on the Supreme Court is the only one who says this guy is not entitled to a new trial. And this was his reason. He warned that the ruling invites, quote, invites state prisoners to go searching for new evidence by demanding the files of the prosecutors who long ago convicted them. Yeah, Clarence, exactly. That is how it works, Clarence. That's what's called an appeal. When you know the prosecutors did something wrong, you go ask for the records. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Beyond comprehension. This is the argument that the Supreme Court should not be a lifetime appointment. It really shouldn't. Clarence Thomas is in no way qualified to be on the Supreme Court. Forget about his education and all of that. We're talking about humanity. He shouldn't be there, plain and simple. But he is, and that's it. It will invite them. Imagine that. Imagine you're on death row and you have the nerve to have your lawyers look into the prosecution to find out they were racist in choosing your jury. How dare you? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, I got to wrap this up. Just other things in the news real quick. The payday loan business. This is how bad the payday loan business is. Elliot Clark, 13 years ago, took out five payday loans for a total of $2,500 after his wife got some medical bills, okay? So he had to make two $95 payments every month on loans where the principal was $500. Annual interest rate, 300 to 1,000%. And he ended up paying back, are you ready for this? $50,000. The man's $50,000 in debt. $50,000 in debt for borrowing $2,500 to pay medical bills. Let me tell you something. Payday lenders, the mob had nothing on you. This guy would have been better off going to Fat Tony from The Simpsons and risking getting his knees broken. Unbelievable. Finally, you know, you've heard me complain about him. We've all complained about him. We've all been in this line. And now it finally comes true. The TSA is screwed up. Really? Really? Who told you that? I don't know everyone who flies. So finally, the TSA, after lines, and we've heard these stories for hours, okay, 450 travelers stuck overnight in O'Hare Airport because the lines were so slow, the planes left without them. That was just one example. About 95% when tested, slipping through fake weapons and explosives, etc. Only about 95% of the fake weapons and explosives got through security. Only about 95%. So, Kelly Hogan, let's see, and I want to make sure I get the name right. Kelly Hogan, who received $90,000 in bonuses, and the bonuses were laid, you know, you can't give a bonus that big. So he was getting $10,000 bonuses every 3 months for running the TSA. They finally fired him. Wow. So that's what it takes. When they ask you, what does it take to lose a government job? Well, first you got to get illegal bonuses, set up that pay structure. Then you have to be totally incompetent at your job and stop air travel. Yeah, that's kind of a major thing. Screw up air travel nationwide, then we're going to have to let you go. Apparently, you're not carrying your weight there. The TSA is a joke. It's a mess. Airlines are a mess. Whose fault is it? Everyone's. The TSA, not enough. How do you get lower the budget? Congress is involved. Congress lowers the TSA's budget. The TSA has fewer screeners, fewer X-ray machines when more people are flying. Every year, record numbers, more people are flying. What's the best way to handle more people at the airport? Ooh, I don't know. Let's try fewer screeners and fewer X-ray machines. That should help move things along. Then you have the incompetence of the screeners. That's another thing. Then you have the airlines, okay? Now, some blame the airlines for having baggage fees. Hey, they're not going to go away. But here's the thing. This is what makes me mad about the airlines. They don't enforce the baggage rules. So you have people showing up at the screener. And remember, I fly 2-3 times a week every week. So I see this. They have, you know, you're supposed to have one small bag and one carry-on, right? Briefcase, pocket, purse, or a backpack or something. And one of those rolling gear. People show up with 3 bags. They've got shopping bags. They accidentally forgot water. Some of them, last week during check, 73 people accidentally forgot they had a loaded gun in their bag. Could happen to anybody. Just happen to have my gun in America. On my way to go vote for Donald Trump, some bitch. And I forgot I had my gun in my roll-on bag at the airport. I think in Georgia it's still legal to open carry in the airport, but not to go through security. Insanity. So everyone's at fault on this. They say not enough people signed up for pre-check. Stop it. That's not an excuse. Common sense. Okay, I was reading an article about a pilot. He said that, first of all, you got to stop pretending little bottles of liquid shampoo or liquid lotion or something is going to take down the plane. Stop it with the shoes. No, nowhere else in the world do you take off your shoes. Nowhere else. Stop wasting our time with our shoes. And let's get bigger machines and bigger trays to put stuff in. And he said also, and I don't know if this is a good idea or not. I don't know if I agree with this. But stop, you know, leave alone obvious people like, you know, elderly people or infants or whatever. I don't know about that. But every other thing he said makes sense. Stop it. Stop pretending that everyone's shoes are going to blow up. This is the government incompetence at its best. This is everything that anybody who's anti-government and talks about how bad the government does anything, the TSA is ultimate proof of government incompetence at its best, and it affects everyone who tries to travel. So how about we stop it? If you want to have a TSA, first of all, finance them, okay, take money out of the defense budget. You know why? Because it's defense, right? It's part of defense to protect air travel. So take a few billion dollars out of the Defense Department, hire enough people, put in enough machines, stop bothering us about our shoes, okay? Stop bothering people about your 4-ounce lotion should have been a 3-ounce lotion. Just stop it, okay? And let's move. Let's get people moving. And airlines, you have to pony up. Airlines have to pony up some money. You know why? Because they're making record profits off of the baggage fees. And as someone said, it has to be transparent to the point that they cannot pass the cost along to the customer. This is the cost of doing business, airlines. You want us to fly. You want us to deal with your baggage fees. You have to add more money for screening. The system is so broken. And it's so funny because I'm a half hour from leaving for the airport. So here we go again. Apple computer, stop updating, please. Just don't touch my iTunes again. Apple is going to update me to Microsoft. I don't know how iTunes even works anymore. It's entirely up to my computer and my phone and my iPad what songs I take anywhere. It's up to them. I just asked Siri, and Siri just said, no, you can't have that song, or I'm going to move this playlist to there, or I'm going to do what. It's up to Siri. I have no control over it anymore. They have this calendar thing where it changes your appointment based on the time zone you're in. So if I have a noon appointment in L.A. and I happen to be in New York, my calendar literally changes it to a 3 p.m. appointment. Like, no, it's still a noon appointment next Tuesday in L.A. I don't need the New York time of my appointment next week on the West Coast or vice versa. Stop it, Apple. Leave us alone. Siri, can't you get a job as an airport screener? Couldn't you? Are you going to bother people? Go to the airport and bother them. Sports, you know I love it. OKC is about to take out Golden State. I hope, as a Clipper fan, you know I'm hoping for that. DeAndre Jordan makes the All-NBA team. I love that. I still think he's a pure center. If you're not a sports fan, you could turn this off right now. Shout out to my man Ryan Reeves and the St. Louis Blues, who made it to the Western Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Lost to San Jose, but he said it's the farthest a team ever made it. And I think it's just cool as hell that I know a pro hockey player. I love that guy. And that's it. And you know, I'm still pulling for LeBron to win another one. That's my thing. I love you guys. Who's paying attention? You are. And I appreciate it. I'm headed to Baltimore. It's Memorial Day weekend. I'm off. Tuesday night I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood just fooling around. The following weekend, I will be hosting the Capital Jazz Festival in Baltimore. And then I'm heading to Americade, the biggest touring rally in the country, or at least the biggest touring rally in Lake George, the first week of June. I'm going by bike. I'll see you guys out there. I love you. Thank you.